Live and Lansing, Jack Ebling is on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back, Jack and Scott, Ebling and you, 1320 WILS. Very happy to welcome in our next guest, a guy that I do some podcasts with three times a week, some video about Michigan State sports, and that is Dan Kilbridge of SpartanTailgate.com. Hello, Dan.
Hey, Jack. How's it going?
Just fine. If someone had told you back in August that Michigan State would be number seven in the first BCS championship standings, what would you have said?
I would have said you must be under some serious influence of any kind if you're going to think that. I mean, just with the way, you know, the schedule set up, it was favorable, but I don't think, you know, anyone in their wildest dreams could have predicted, you know, this sort of start for State with the one they've, in the way they've taken care of each game that they needed to take care of along the way so far.
Where did this start?
You know, I think it started in the offseason, really, when, you know, I hate to point back to the Rather Hall incident because I don't want to say, you know, it started there, but I think, you know, moving past that season, which really had some difficulties on and off the field, I think it was important for the guys to sort of regroup and refocus, and I think they did that. I think they really got a good group of guys, and they really liked the squad they had that was with them in bowl practices last year and in spring training this year in camp. I think they had just a good group of guys that get along very well with a lot of chemistry and, you know, great leadership, which is something D'Antonio mentioned today. I think it really comes from the players, and it's Kirk Cousins and Greg Jones and those guys who have really kind of taken on leadership of this program.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And when I looked at this team and the schedule it had, it's leaving the state of Michigan for the first time this week. In the offseason, I said Michigan State would be 9-3, and if you held a gun to my head, I would have said it's more likely to win 10 games than win 8 games, but I certainly didn't expect it to be in position to maybe have the most successful season in Michigan State history. Spartans have never had an 11-win season.
Yeah, and I remember, you know, we were talking on the phone before the season started, and I remember you saying, you know, you thought that they had, you know, a chance for a special season and that they, you know, could potentially be 8-0 going into Iowa, looking at the schedule. And, you know, I didn't share that outlook at the time, but you've proven right. I mean, I think just with the way that they've won the close games, which is something they haven't done in so long.
Yeah.
You know, they've always been close. When D'Antonio was here, they found themselves in position to win those games. They just didn't do it, and for whatever reason, this year they've really got it done, and that's something that I think just is contagious amongst the guys once you start making plays and learning how to win the close games.
Yeah, and when you only have one game that is not decided by double digits, I think that speaks volumes. But I think you're absolutely right in terms of a turning point. I remember when they got back from the bowl game and Mark D'Antonio said, hey, we're going to do some things different. And one of the first things he did was to organize this group of leaders, team leaders, that began meeting, and the group of 12, it sounds like a jury, but what they did was bring in all aspects of the team, all elements, and I think the communication improved. I think they started to understand why certain decisions were made and how everyone was intertwined. If someone was selfish, how it affected everyone, and maybe with one or two exceptions, I can think of a couple. But by and large, when you have a football team, you're going to have a couple of strays. This team has been pretty together throughout this whole process.
Yeah, and I think it goes back to what you were saying about the unity council, or, you know, whatever you want to call it. It's something D'Antonio said today that he really hadn't seen anywhere else. It just sort of came to him. And, you know, it's guys like Colin Neely, you know, those types of guys who maybe aren't captains, but they still have a very big influence over the team, being, you know, fifth-year seniors and things like that. So I think getting all those guys in a room, and D'Antonio mentioned, you know, they meet where the assistant coaches meet. They get the big, nice, fancy chairs, I guess, and sit around and talk football and everything in between. And I think it's a really good idea to just get that communication started. I think anywhere in life, you know, communication is going to lead to more success. So the fact that they're doing that and really doing it from all areas, I think was definitely a good move on D'Antonio's part.
Yeah, and I think you've seen before where teams have had seniors meet, and it becomes a senior team. But you don't just play seniors. And D'Antonio was very adamant about having a freshman representative on this council and having all position groups and some of the non-starters, people who really wouldn't see a lot of time. But if you're going to have people who are on the scout team and they're playing an important role, they should play an important role in decisions. So I think that the composition of this has been masterful, and not to say that that's led to a lot of touchdowns, but it certainly hasn't hurt.
Yeah, I think, you know, you touched on the leadership a little bit. I think, and also the younger guys, I think maybe even more so than the 7-0 record, the fact that these younger guys, Max Bolla, Will Bolston, those types of guys are stepping up. Darquez Denard, we saw last week, obviously, I mean, starting in place of an all-Big Ten cornerback and really not missing a beat. I think that speaks to where this program is at, that you've got capable guys who can come in when called upon, and they're so involved in practice and the decision-making that they do feel like a part of this team. And I think that really does translate to some success on the field when you've got that confidence, you know, that you're in tune with the team, and it's really translated to one of the most important things, you know, and that's depth, certainly.
Well, Dan Kilbridge, our guest from SpartanTailgate.com, and as we talked about this afternoon and the video that has just been posted, I think Michigan State's depth is arguably the best it's had in more than 40 years. In the past, Michigan State's had some outstanding athletes, guys who've gone on and played in the National Football League, been first-round draft choices, but you get beyond about 30 guys, and you start to wonder if they can play. I think Michigan State legitimately has 60 guys who can play winning football, and I don't remember that before. I look at the depth chart, and I see an awful lot of young guys. I think 19 out of 31 on the defense are freshmen or sophomores. A lot of those things, those infrastructure things that people don't see right away, are really starting to pay dividends.
Yeah, that's, I think, the fourth year is always looked at as, you know, maybe the most important year as far as where the program is and whether or not it needs to go in a different direction. And I think this is really where we've seen D'Antonio, what he's talked about the past 3 years. You can kind of tell here and there were signs about what he was talking about, but I think now we're starting to get the whole picture of the program he was trying to build. And you do see that with the young guys you mentioned on defense. Also on offense, I mean, three different running backs, they're comfortable going to in any situation. Receivers that are interchangeable. They lost, you know, two tight ends who were pretty good, and they've still got two decent ones out there every day. It's really just a complete body of work right now when you look at it.
I think back to the moment that Mark D'Antonio really turned this program around, and it wasn't Little Giants. It was after the loss to Michigan his first year, when he had already said, how long are we going to continue to bow to the University of Michigan? But he made it very clear that he was proud to be a Spartan, and that Spartans could take that and run with it. And if you had said that day that since that point, Michigan State would have as many Big Ten wins in Ann Arbor as the University of Michigan would, you could have gotten some pretty long odds.
It's really a remarkable stat, probably one of my favorite stats in the Big Ten right now. That ranks right up there. And, you know, you're right. Once he said, how long are we going to bow to Michigan, people started to get the idea that he treated this much more seriously than John L. Smith did. I think the fans appreciated that pretty much on the whole. And then the way he responded to the first Michigan loss when he was here and said, they're not, you know, they weren't laughing, and yeah, this isn't over. They're certainly not laughing now, and I can tell you, I was walking around Ann Arbor until the late hours after that game, and there were not too many happy faces. So I think, you know, they're kind of as surprised as Michigan State is as far as what's happened to the rivalry since then, and it's really been mostly D'Antonio's doing, I think, and the mindset he's created amongst Spartan fans that, you know, they are on equal ground with the Wolverines.
Well, I have always expected Michigan State fans to go to Chicago, and sometimes they would go and the football game would be an excuse to go and have a great time and hang out. But I don't remember so many Michigan State fans excited about a weekend trip to Evanston, and a lot of them talking about trying to get tickets to Iowa. So I guess before you would get to a bowl game situation, a lot of people are thinking, hey, Michigan State hasn't had a game outside the state of Michigan yet. When they do, we're going to be there.
Yeah, it does seem to be taking on almost like a road tour feel to it, as far as, you know, everyone I talk to who is going to this game, or they're renting an RV for the Iowa game, whatever it may be, it's starting to feel like almost a circus where everyone's kind of rounding up and leaving and going out to these different towns. And as you mentioned, you know, Northwestern, that used to be, the game was an afterthought to getting down to Chicago for the night. And now, you know, everyone's going for the football, and certainly they should, you know, it's a chance to go 8-0. And then you look at what could decide the Big Ten title in Iowa. That's going to be, you know, a very well-attended game, I think, by Spartan fans. There's just so much excitement right now about the program, and so much excitement that hasn't been seen in a really long time around here.
Well, as I always tell my Saturday morning co-host, Tom Crawford, when he starts to whine about the state of football in the state of Michigan, I say, don't worry, Tom, there's always basketball season.
Yeah.
And right now, if you are a Michigan State fan, you've got it pretty good. Dan Kilbridge, our guest from SpartanTailgate.com, does a phenomenal job of covering Michigan State on a daily basis. And check out his work there, SpartanTailgate.com. Dan, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, sounds good, Jack. Thanks.